You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It is Monday night, the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. The 16th of Jumad al-Ukhra 1441, which is also the 11th of February 2020. Our Zakat Nisab, 5,250 Rand. Mehre Fatimi, 13,100 Rand. Minimum Mahar for Hanafis is 270 Rand. For Malikis is 90 Rand. Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum Mahar. Our WhatsApp number is 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number, 0847863132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. And our Ustad's website is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. I want to welcome, of course, our engineers this evening, Brother Lokolo here in Johannesburg, and of course, the other engineer in KZN. Let's welcome all the listeners, local, national, and international, on this beautiful, mashallah, Monday night. We begin and we welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad into our program this beautiful Monday night. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakumullahu khairan.
Ustad, let's begin, inshallah, with the first question this evening. Somebody says, can one go for Umrah and perform Sa'i on the scooter, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that the authorities are trying to make things easy for the people who are old and sickly. So if a person is really old and sickly, cannot manage walking, nor for tawaf, nor for sa'i, and then they use that scooter, that will be permissible. However, we see some people everywhere else they can walk, but remember they want to use the scooter and it's more just like a joyride and so forth, so that is not permissible. And if a person used it for sa'i, then from Safa to Marwa and all the time, all seven rounds, and they did not walk at all, so in a case like that, dam will become compulsory. They will have to slaughter a goat or a sheep there in Makkah Mukarrama. Another added dimension is this. Sometimes the scooters and all wheelchairs, whatever electric, battery operated, whatever it is, you get there 2, 3, 4 seats. So maybe you got your mother, mother-in-law, father, whoever, and now they are with you and all are old sickly. You like the driver and there's nothing wrong with you. So if day three go, that's fine. But now you still have to perform yours walking. Doesn't mean you took them in that scooter or in that electric wheelchair. So yours is done, but you can walk. So all those people need to take cognizance of. Remember that anybody who's able to walk, then they must walk. And the scooter and so forth must be the last resort only.
Somebody says when one pays zakat, Ustad, the bank charges a fee. What should we do, Ustad?
Yes, nowadays many a time people want to give a certain person or family organization and then they do the EFT. Let's say you are transferring $1,000, 1,000 rand, whatever it is. I'll just take round figures. And now the bank charges 10%. We know it's not 10%, but just to make it easy for us. So in a case like that, so only 900 rand or $900 will reach the recipient. So it means means that your zakat is only paid that is $900 or 900 rand and not the 1,000. So therefore, when you do the EFT and it is to do with zakat, always use extra money. The aim must be zakat is such that is compulsory upon you $1,000 or 1,000 rand or 1,000 rupees or whatever. So that amount, 1,000 rupees, 1,000 rand, 1,000 euros or dollars, that must be the one that reaches the recipient. Then your zakat is totally discharged. Otherwise, it means you'll be paying less zakat. So cognizance must be taken of that as well when we do our EFT regarding zakat.
Somebody says here, Honorable Respected Mufti Saab, if husband touches his wife, does the wudu break, Ustad?
Remember, if the husband touches his wife, for example, they're at home and now they want to touch or kiss or whatever, or accidentally, you know, you say pass the salad or the curry or whatever, and then your hands with her hand touches skin to skin, so yes, it will break according to the Shafis and them. And remember, the wudu will be broken and you'll have to repeat the wudu. However, according to Hanafis, remember, the wudu is valid. And remember, there are so many dalail and evidence. If you open Tirmidhi Sharif, you will see our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reports, inna nabiyya sallallahu قبل بعض أزواجه ثم يصلي ولم يتوضأ. The Master alayhi salam would kiss some of the honorable wives, then perform salat and would not perform wudu. The hadith was reported by Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Her nephew is there, Urwa, her sister's son. And remember that he used to say, Ma hiya illa anti, fadwahikat. And he said, oh anti, there's no one else but you. Oh anti, you are meant by anti. Anti is the Arabic word. So she smiled and so forth. So remember that the Hanafi's proof is very good in this instance, that the salat, the wuzu would not break and the salat would be valid. But there is difference of opinion. The Shafi's, Ambali's, Maliki's use the verse, O Lamas Tumun Nisa, and they say, O Lamas Tumun Nisa means not only husband-wife relationship and conjugal rights, but it refers to Masbil Yad as well, touching hand to hand and skin to skin as well.
Ustad, there's so much of crime and problems happening here in South Africa. You know, I know, we all know, Ustad. What should we do in South Africa, Ustad?
We have three options. One option is to migrate and leave South Africa, go to other countries. So my question to you will be, which country will you go? So you must remember that your Islam, you can practice freely here. There are huge, huge problems, believe you me. But you should look at the Islamic dimension. Maybe you will protect your Iman and Islam and identity. What about your children, grandchildren? So most of the time when we travel, we see this happening, that the children, grandchildren get lost, they assimilate with the system, and then they fly right out of the fall of Islam in many cases, Allah forbid. So that is the huge danger. Second one is this, that we can tell the politicians, you tell the president now this week, Thursday or whenever, he's delivering the SONA, State of the Nation address. I don't listen to all these type of things. For me, it's a waste of time. But anyway, so you must remember that. So they will make 101 promises. The problem today in South Africa is this. Majority of the people do not trust the politicians. We do not trust our judicial system. We do not trust the police. So it's a lack of confidence across the board and the spectrum. And that is the truth. I mean, because of what we see every day, millions and billions are siphoned off. Hardly anybody gets prosecuted and so forth. So obviously, you must remember once your structure starts falling. So in a case like that, that also is not going to work. So what is the third option? For us as Muslims, this is the only option. Remember this. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusim. It is our belief that no leaf can fall except with the command and permission of Almighty Allah. No drop of rain can fall except with the command and permission of Almighty Allah. So when Almighty Allah, we believe from the inner recesses of our heart, is in charge of the entire universe and creation, so why not we make peace with Almighty Allah? Inna Allah la yughayyiru ما ma bi anfusihim. Verily Almighty Allah will not change the plight of a people until they change within themselves. Are we changing for the better? Are we more meticulous about the salat? Are we treating our staff better? Our non-Muslim staff, are we treating them better? Our neighbors, our interaction with people, our ibadat, our actions, that Almighty Allah made compulsory upon us. The women, are you dressing modestly? The men, is our business dealings, transactions according to Sharia? So all these are pertinent questions. When we do what we're supposed to do, wa in tasbiru wa tattaqu, if you exercise patience and you have taqwa and true piety, la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a, they are plotting, planning, will not harm you in the least. That is what Quran is telling us. So wherever we are, we must lead a life of Islam, of iman, of taqwa. Not we become part-time Muslims. Sad to say, but it is true, the 2 billion figure and all lies, all the propaganda, there is no such thing as 2 billion Muslims. Let's take 1 billion Muslims, you must remember, and from there you will see majority do not perform salat. Majority take Islam as a part-time thing. Jumma time come, then is Muslim. Ramadan come, is Muslim. Some auspicious night come, is Muslim. So that is not sufficient. We have to become committed, devoted, dedicated Muslims. The Islam is a way of life. And then see how the help of Almighty Allah will descend. So that is the only way out. Yes, crime is spiraling out of control. Read Surah 12, verse 64. For Allah, Almighty Allah is the best protector, and He, Almighty Allah, is most merciful one to show mercy. Second one, you are worried, anxiety, your blood pressure is going up. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And give out charity daily. Even if it is 50 cent, 1 rand, 2 rand. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqun nar walau bi shiqqi tamra. Fear the fire, even though it be a quarter or half a date. The hadith is authentic, open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Do that and perform our salat. Read Quran Sharif. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will envelope us in His mercy and abandon Durood Sharif and Salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Istighfar also.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept Ustad. There's 2 questions here, Ustad. One says, I want to celebrate Valentine's with my wife, Ustad. I want to buy her a gift, but it's only me and my wife, no one else. The other question is, Ustad, can I sell items on the day of the Valentine's, Ustad?
Remember, we know that people are going to celebrate the Valentine this week, 14th of February, and so forth and so on. So this whole Valentine has got nothing to do with Islam. You must remember that it's all legend, it's all fabrications and lies. Second thing, even if it is true, it has nothing to do with us as Muslims. Hence, for you and your wife, you want to give a gift, so give her a gift tonight. You can give her a gift tonight in kind, my brother. So you must remember, and tomorrow in cash as well. So you don't have to wait, you must remember, for the Valentine and so forth, the shaitaniyat. Man tashabba biqawmin fawwa minhum, who imitates a people becomes part and parcel of them. Surah 5 verse 51, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wa an-nasara awliya, do not take the Jews, Christians, non-Muslims to be your friends and protectors. Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd, they are the friends and protectors of one another. Now see the warning, the wa'id. Chapter 5 Surah Ma'idah verse 51, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. You befriend them, you love their system, their culture and traditions and festivals, so you become part and parcel of them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's fatwa, Imam Bukhari has mentioned in Tariq al-Kabir and is mentioned in Bayaki as well. اجتنبوا أعداء الله في إيدهم, stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah during their celebrations. So to sell it, to promote it, advertise it, all is haram. The money you make with the Valentine cards and flowers and Cupid and whatever is making us Cupid, is making us stupid. Remember that. So all this is unacceptable in Islam, and that income also is tainted and polluted. It's satanic, these things here.
Ustad, can I pay taxes with interest?
100%. My advice and fatwa, the other day I was in Trichardt and they asked me 1-2 questions and so forth. So wherever I go, I make this very clear, and I'm telling you now, you must never give the governments of the world, especially like South Africa and so forth, halal money. Because the fat cats are getting even fatter and the poor people are suffering more and more. And now Eskom wants to increase the rates and everything wants to just spiral out of control. They can't give us 24 hours electricity, but they want to charge us more. So you can see the irony of it. So when it comes to government taxes we're speaking about, when it comes to rates, taxes, customs, all tolls, e-tolls, so pay it, but pay with your interest money. There's no need to give them with halal money. Halal money, your rental, your water lights, your clothing, your food, education, all that you use for that. But when it comes to government issues, remember that you use interest money, totally permissible.
Ustad, somebody says, can I give the clothes of the deceased away, Ustad?
That's haram. You can't just do that unilaterally. Remember that when a person, Muslim person, passes away, first thing will be that burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. And if some friends, family want to pay for it, that's fine. Second, the debts of the deceased, personal, corporate, business debts, all must be paid. Justice delayed is justice denied immediately. Third one, if they made wasiya for people, organization, and provided is permissible, not for some church or temple and so forth. So that must be implemented for non-heirs, maximum 1/3. And the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. So your husband passed away, your father, mother passed away. You are there in that house, the husband, the wife, or the child, children. You just start giving away everything. It's haram to do that. The other heirs did not give permission, and now you're doing that unilaterally. So all that is severe warning in the Quran Sharif. When we do things properly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And regarding inheritance, when we do things contrary to the law, the code of Islam, Surah chapter 4 verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا. Whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he goes beyond the limits, remember giving someone more, giving less, depriving people, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah dispatches them to Jahannam and the hellfire for a very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for such a person will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Allah Ta'ala protect us.
Ustad, I want to know, we are told to love, care and respect our mothers, but please advise what happens when our mothers have favorite in her children and speaks ill about one sibling to the next and does not want to treat all her children equal, Ustad.
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave advice to the parents as well. Almighty Allah first gives advice, Surah 66 verse 6, very easy reference, chapter 66 verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your children, your offspring from the fire. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, wattaqullah. Fear Almighty Allah jalla wala wa adilu bayna awladikum. Exercise justice amongst your children. Just now we discuss of inheritance. In inheritance, the sons and daughters will be ratio 2-1. But whilst you're alive, I have a son and daughter, for example, so I can't give my son 20 ren and my daughter 10 ren. So remember, whilst you're alive, during the lifetime, you give equally, whether it's cash or kind and so forth. Yes, different circumstances will change, but as a rule, that is the rule. And you, the children, this is the rule. If your parents are doing wrong and they are making, oppressing you, doing a zulam upon you, still you must love them, share and care for them, make dua for them. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wa in dhalama. Go open Mustad Ahmad al-Adabul Mufrad of Imam Bukhari and so forth. There are whole chapters on this. So therefore, our parents, even if they're wrong, it does not mean we tell them, go fly a kite and go do this type of thing. Nay, we still have to show them respect and love and turn to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that they move away from this favoritism.
Ustad, one child has become a murtad and is currently living in zina, Ustad. Explain what is the duty of the mother in keeping contact with the child. Islamically, Ustad.
When that son has become a murtad, or daughter also, so Allah forbid, murtad means they denounce Islam and became an apostate. If he or she does not want to embrace Islam, the ulama explained to them, they told them whatever doubts, objections they have, we will answer it. But the person is not interested in a true Islamic country. The hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will apply, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, that whosoever changed their religion from Islam to some other faith and religion or cult, then capital punishment is applicable, the death penalty. And this is for male and female, according to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's. According to Hanafi's only, they say it's for men only, the death penalty, and not for the females. They use other ahadith and so forth. So nevertheless, that is the slight ikhtilaf, difference opinion there. Second, we can't do that in our countries. So you, the entire family, not only the mother or father, you, the mother, father, siblings, family, friends, all of you must excommunicate that person, boycott him totally. Our Islam is al-hubbu lillah wal-buhzu lillah. We love for the sake of Almighty Allah, and we hate and detest for the sake of Almighty Allah. So people like that, when they turned against Islam, and they living day and night in sin and vices, so you must cut off all ties with such people and sever ties, and that's wajib and compulsory upon you.
Ustad, in Christianity, they say that Adam will not come back because he sinned deliberately. What does the Holy Quran and Islam say about the resurrection of Adam? Sister Naila from Lower Zambezi, Ustad.
Yes, Sister Naila, I told you your name is the honorable wife of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, to obtain the good qualities, the Iman, Islam, sincerity and so forth. Wonderful, beautiful name. Remember that in Islam we say Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam and all Anbiya, Prophet Adam and all the prophets and messengers are ma'asum. They are protected, you must remember, from all type of vices and sin. This is in the Quran in various places. Almighty Allah instructed Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِي شَجَرَ, do not even approach the tree and do not eat from that tree. But Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam forgot about the prohibition as enshrined in the noble Quran, فَنَسِيَ آدَمُ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا, that he did not make intention to violate the laws of Allah, but he totally forgot about it. Surah chapter 20, verse 115. Read the story there. Surah chapter 20 and verse 115. And secondly, you must remember that to say that Nabi Adam alayhi salam is coming back and so forth, there's nothing like that in Islam. He passed away, he's buried, and he's not going to come back. The personality that will come back is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He never died, he was not crucified and nothing. And the Christians believe in the original sin. Nabi Adam alayhi salam died for the people's sin, or Jesus died for the sin, all that is rejected. Remember that every person is responsible for his or her own deeds and actions.
Subhanallah. 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Let's go inshallah for an interval. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
22 minutes to 9. You're tuning in, listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, that I explained to a pastor that Allah uses the royal pronoun of we when referring to himself to denote respect and reverence. The pastor refutes this, saying the we refers to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. What do I tell him, Ustad? Pastor also wants to know who the Holy Spirit refers to, Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the Noble Quran made it very, very clear. Chapter 212, the third, the last chapter of the Noble Quran. Qul huwallahu ahad. Say, O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He Almighty Allah is one alone and unique. Allahu Samad, He is totally independent. He does not need anybody, anywhere, anytime in His entire creation and in the universe. Lam Yalid Walam Yulad, He is not the father of anyone, not the child of anyone. Walam Yakullahu Kufuwan Ahad. There is none equal to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in any aspect, in any respect. So that is Tawheed, believing in the oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah stamps His authority. He says, فَعَالُوا لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He does as He pleases. So He says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ. Indeed, we reveal the reminder, the Quran Kareem. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And surely we protected, no addition, no omission. So the miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest miracle was, is, will always be the Quran Sharif. So Pastor, with due respect, you need to ask yourself this question. If you say Jesus is God, but Jesus was born according to you all on the 25th of December, so where was He before 25th of December? So how can you have a God that was born? Then you come into Easter, you say God had died, that He was crucified and He was buried and so forth in the Holy Sepulchre. So think properly, Pastor, and all the Christians, that if you're believing in Trinity, then you are accepting that God was born and God died and that He was crucified and so many things happened. So how can the God die? And who was running the world at that time? Who was making the sun rise, the sunset, and who was giving life and who was giving death? So you're going to create million, billion, zillion questions. So you must accept what Islam says. You must remember that there is only one creator and He is Almighty Allah. You can call Him God, capital G. He is the only one worthy of worship. Yes, remember we say Almighty Allah blessed Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, with various miracles, and He would cure the leper, the children and babies that were born blind, and wa uhyil mauta, I would give life to the dead bi idhnillah, with the permission of Almighty Allah. So that is the meaning of the Holy Spirit, not that He is part of Allah and He is a son of Allah or a God. All that is rejected.
Ustad, Sister in Mauritius wants to know, is there any muftimas in Islam, Ustad? You are a mufti, muftimas, Ustad.
Remember that if you study Hanafi fiqh, sister, there is one work called Badai'us Sana'i, and the author there is Allama Kasani rahimahullah. His daughter was a big sheikha, muftiya, and father, daughter, the son-in-law, they all who signed the fatawa. So in Islam, you must remember, the ladies played a great, great role. Come, I give you 2-3 examples. So you must remember, if you take the oldest university, so that is in Qayrawan, and that is the Jamia Qayrawan, there in Fez, in Morocco, I visited it. And who donated that land? Subhanallah, it is Fatima Fihri. And that was the lady. Till today, that is the oldest university. You go and study the history of it in UNESCO, and in UNESCO's encyclopedia, you will see they have an article on that. If you study South Africa, our oldest masjid in South Africa, so you must remember was and is that 1794, 200 years before our democracy, in Boer Kaap in Cape Town, very near the Hilton Hotel, walking distance from there. So remember that Sarki van die Kaap, so that is how they would register their name. She's a Muslima, she donated that land. So remember, you have the ladies' contribution. Our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha kanat faqihatan muhaddithatan adibatan. She was a muftiya, she was a muhaddisa, she was a linguist par excellence. She reported 2,210 ahadith. So as the generations go, you must remember you hear great, great, great ulama and alimat and so forth, but they are not famous like the men. So therefore, sometimes you think that no, they isn't. No, they are, but remember, they are not so famous like the men.
Ustad, somebody says, yeah, brother, he says that, dear respected Mufti Sahab, I need your du'as, especially your du'as. I will be getting married on the 28th of this month in Gaza. Alhamdulillah, everything so far is confirmed. I saw the girl. The girl saw my picture. I saw her picture. What's your advice, Ustad? Should I go there and take her and bring her to South Africa?
How are you going to enter Gaza? That is the big problem. If you want to go via Israel, occupied Palestine, they won't allow you. If you're going to go via Egypt, the Rafah border, they might allow you. But you'll have to make a lot of dua and a lot of money you'll have to carry, because to pass through those borders is like South Africa. Nigam Ali, Baba, Nigam Ali. Everything, money speaks all languages. I am not saying bribery is permissible, bribery is haram. You ask me what to do, so I'm telling you this is the reality. So you must remember that. Then how are you going to get your wife out from there? Or unless you're going one-way ticket and you're going to stay in Gaza as well. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born in Gaza in the year 150. And remember that when he was very young, then his father passed away, he was yatim. And then when he was 2 years old, his mother brought him to Makkah Mukarramah. And then he studied Islam and Muslim. Azanji, African teacher, was his first teacher. So you must remember Gaza has got great virtue, is part of Palestine. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's great grandfather Hashim, so he's buried there in Gaza. So all these are part of the virtue. So I don't see the logistics how it's going to work out unless you're going to bribe your way through. Bribing is haram, brother, but you'll have to make tawbah and so forth. So if you can get in, then I don't know how you'll get out, because if you want your wife to come out,
he says, so it's a contact to start.
So yes, contact means bribery and so forth. So then they will maybe take you out this way, that way. But my advice to you, make sure that the logistics are done. Otherwise, your life is in danger, her life is in danger, and you'll be creating more problems for that family. The apartheid Israeli regime has made Gaza the biggest open prison in the world. And then they want to speak of peace treaty, deal of the century. It is the fraud of the century and not worth the paper on which is written. We congratulate and salute the speaker there in Kuwait. He took that document and he dumped it and threw it in a waste paper basket. So you must remember, that is what true Muslims must do. We can never allow these people to steal Palestine and Aqsa, and inshallah it will be liberated in our lifetime.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, what must one read when one has a very angry and short-tempered husband, Ustad? In so many cases, he says, I am wrong, he is only right. Please advise what to read, Ustad.
Tell him when he's in a good mood and not in front of the children, tell him you are a good man, but you have one big and horrible weakness, that is your short temper. So every time you lose your temper, you need to become a better Muslim. Impose a fine upon yourself, 50 rand, 100 rand, 200 rand, and in 1 week, 1 month, he'll be straight like a miswak, straight like a stick. And show him the had Quran, wal qadhimin al ghayth. Apne husse ko pee lena. That's a wonderful, beautiful translation in Urdu. To suppress your anger. Wal afina anin nas. And not only suppress it, but forgive the people who you feel did some wrong. And not only that, wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. I have a person working for me, example, right? And now he broke the glass, he broke the cup, whatever. So I lost my temper, but then I remember the ayat, so I suppress the anger. Then I forgive him. Then I give him 50 rand increase. That is what Quran is teaching us. So my brother, you must understand, you're causing harm to yourself, you're causing harm to your wife, you're causing harm to your children, and remember that you are causing the biggest crime, that is when you lose your temper, then you might issue talaq to your wife, and then you will cry for the remainder of your life. Abghadul halali ilallahi at-talaq. The most hated and detested thing, detested thing which Almighty Allah made permissible is talaq and divorce. And the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Apne husse ko pee lena. Remember, suppress your anger, brother.
Ustad, I love that saying. Apne husse ko pee lena.
Pee lena.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, Are we allowed to give our maids, helpers, sadaqah, lillah, or zakat to pay their children's school fees, Ustad?
You can give them lillah, sadaqah, you can't give them zakat. They are not Muslims, so to give zakat to non-Muslims, remember, is not permissible. So in a case like that, help them. But remember, when you're saying it's lillah or sadaqah, it must not be in lieu of the wages or the labor or the work they did. It is beyond and besides that amount. Your wages for them is 1,000 rand. So you know that they are struggling because they have 3, 4, 5 children. And now the children will lie there in the street and become gangsters and crooks and take glue and drugs and what have you. So you say, okay, here's the lilla money, take this 100, 200 rand, and your 1,000 rand is your wages. So you must make it clear to them that this is assistance you are rendering to them. It's not part of the wages. You sign it and make them sign. So tomorrow they don't come and say, but last month you paid me 1,200 rand, and now you're paying me 1,000 rand. So it means that then you will settle the problem and so forth. So everything have properly, they must understand, you understand. Make them sign, you sign, and everything then is very good.
Somebody says, please advise Honorable Ustad, for the men, which ihram is permissible? I have seen men using a skirt type, elasticated at the waist, Ustad.
Remember that ihram, you can use with the elastic there, that's fine. You can use with that chrome, you know, that belt there, so they come nowadays, but they put your own belt also, because that thing there, sometime when you breathe, in, you know, inhale, exhale, and that thing is not put properly, so then it just opens up. So on top of that, put your own belt as well. Third one is this, that any ihram will work. You know what's a lungi? So Maulana, we must explain to them what's lungi. I wear lungi every day when I sleep, because you must remember the air comes in both ways. You must remember that, very nice it is. You don't need air condition. So you must remember this input and output.
Subhanallah.
So you must remember. So you wear a normal lungi also, it's fine. So I know Hajj time, you must remember, people get surprised. When we sleep there in Muzdalifah, I take out my ihram. First I put the lungi on, obviously, and then I take out my ihram and I sleep with the lungi. So it's totally permissible. So you must remember these type of things here. So all that, and it's not necessary the ihram must be white also. So it can be brown, it can be, you know, navy blue, it can be all these colors as well. And you women also, there's no such thing that you must wear white and so forth. One lady, ajazahallahu khaira, Allah give her, you understand, reward. I think maybe she passed away many, many years ago. She told me, whenever I deliver lectures regarding Umrah Hajj, the lights are so powerful in Makkah, floodlights. So when our women wear white, and now they don't wear really, you know, the under, that underneath garments and so forth, that the petticoat and whatever else they call it. So you must remember, you can dir Makkah, you can see right through. It goes transparent then. So therefore, you sisters, whether you're in ihram or out of ihram, best for you is to wear dark color clothes. Your black and your brown and your navy and grey and so forth. If you wear white, then when they wear that petticoat and whatever else you'll call it, you've got all different names. So you wear the inner garment so that when the lights are in your direction, then it's not see-through and transparent. So all these are issues that you need to know before you go for Umrah and Hajj.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, I used to wear lungi in madrasa, Ustad.
Very good, mashallah.
Now we no more wearing lungi, Ustad.
No more, Arafat is a big shot. No more lungi.
Ustad, brother from Cape Town, he says, yeah, my name is Buta Rashad. He says, a nickname, they call me Rambo. He says, it's 2 months already now that I changed my life because of the Q&A. I stabbed a lot of Butas. Well, my khala, forgive me, Ustad. Buta Rashad.
Buta Rashad, yet baie mense gestuurk. And baie mense doodgemaak. So you must remember, I spoke a little bit Afrikaans there. I said, Buta Rashad, first we say, Allahumma laka shukru kullu wa laka alhamdu kullu, that you are hearing the Q&A, and Allah made it a means for you to change your life. Maybe you stabbed somebody, maybe you took out your AK-47 and you shot somebody. So all this has to do with hukukul ibad. You know what you did. So one crime is against Allah. So you have to beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Second crime is against human being, Muslim or non-Muslim. Gang warfare, you want to impress your friends and your pallies and your chummies and whoever. So now you don't kaskit or you stabbed him or whatever. So you must remember you have to go to the family and you have to make peace with them. Remember this. This is hukukul ibad. See, both hadiths come. أول ما يحاسب بالعبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing Allah will question us on the day of justice is regarding our salat. Hadith authentic in Tirmidhi. Open Mustanad Ahmad, another hadith. أول ما يحاسب بالعبد يوم القيامة الدماء. The bloodshed we cause. So we say regarding hukukullah, the rights of Allah, the first thing is salat. And regarding hukukul ibad, the rights of creation and human being, the first thing Allah will ask us regarding the bloodshed we cause. So my brother Buta Rashad, I'm very happy that you changed your life. Allah Ta'ala give me you the steadfastness. We continue all the time. Ameen. But remember, you have to be sincere. Somehow, you have to get the message to those families that you have changed your life and you are asking them for forgiveness and so forth and so on. So that will be how then Almighty Allah also will forgive you. So it is a two-way process. Don't think that you ask Allah alone for forgiveness, that's sufficient. No, that's right, you must ask Allah, but you have to ask the families as well. And the families that you don't know, those people you don't know, because sometime in gang warfare and so forth, it's not Skopskit and Donner, so you don't know who's who in the zoo. So remember that in that case is there that you ask Allah for forgiveness, but the families you know, you must ask Allah and those families for forgiveness.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. His nickname was Ustad Rambo.
Yeah, that's why he's kid cut. You understand?
He says, Vanar kan ek mufti sin, Buta Rashad Ustad.
Ek kom Cape Town too. Excel, I'm there very soon. Inshallah, in 10, 12 days time, because then cup start, inshallah. You know Bashir Bhai? So you contact Bashir Bhai and Mona Ilyas, his son. They'll give you all the details.
Listener says, Ustad, you just spoke about a muftiya. Kasam mufti sa, my wife is more qualified. She knows it all. And her mother knows 10 times more. Make dua, we even threw away our encyclopedia, Ustad.
So the wife, your wife is a mufti and your mother-in-law is a great mufti. So you must remember that, brother. So what you must do, you must just keep quiet. Then among themselves, they will argue. That the wife and the mother-in-law, then you must just be the observant spectator and see others there. So remember, it's the nature of human that. So sometimes you must allow them to speak, but in the house, not outside. Because outside, then they cause problems for you also. So don't worry about these things. You must tell them. Therefore, Quran said, "Udhk wa dhakirin Allah kathira wa dhakirat." Those men and women who remember Almighty Allah abundantly, profusely. Who will speak Lord, 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 Lord? Those people who hardly make zikr of Allah. And those men and women who remember Allah abundantly, they will speak less. That is the panacea, the solution, the cure for all these type of harms.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. We go to overseas, somebody says, Ustad, respected Mufti Sahab, how can I stop masturbation? Please, what to read?
Remember the answer, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, hadith number 1, and it's in Bukhari Sharif. Ya ma'ashara shabab, O you group of youngsters, man istata'a minkumul ba'ata falyatazawwaj, whosoever of you has the physical financial strength to get married, so get married. Fa innahu aghaddu lil basar, then you will control your gaze and lower your gaze. Wa ahsanu lil farj, and you will protect your private part. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِي, and you don't have the financial means or physical means or what have you, then فَعَلَيْكَ بِالصَّوْمِ, then you must fast. فَإِنَّ الصَّوْمَ لَهُ وِجَاءَ, this fasting will crush your desires. So my brother, you should fast every second day. That is called صَوْمَ دَاوُد. So tomorrow Tuesday you fast, and then Wednesday you don't fast, then Thursday you fast, and Friday you don't fast. So every alternate day you fast. Second one is this: if you can get married, get married. Then third one, you have to make sincere tawbah. Masturbation is not permissible in Islam, nor for male, nor for female. So it's a major sin. Then next one, remember, impose a fine upon you. Then you will see everything will get straight. Because when it hits the money and the pocket, then you see we behave. Mm. So we don't drive fast, all these type of things. So if you are sincere, then Allah will help you as well. Mm. And read 2 rakat salah daily. And today I met somebody in India. He say, make dua, larki mil jai, larki mil jai. He's telling me in Urdu. So I told him, Africa se larki deta ho aapko. From South Africa. He said, no. Desh ki chahiye. I want from India. So I say, you're sitting in South Africa, but you want wife from India. Now how are we going to solve that problem? So remember that people today are pareshan, are worried, concerned. They want to get married, but then the logistics. So wherever you get a pious lady, chaste lady, get married. Quran is teaching us Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes.
Allahu Akbar, ameen. And how I got from Botswana, Ustad?
See?
How I got from Botswana?
Yeah, number three.
Number three. Somebody says, I am a revert sister. And I would like to know from you, listening to you this evening, which is preferred for a female when grooming? To shave, wax, or trim? Ustad, escort.
So you must remember, sister, when you are removing your unwanted hair and so forth, so you can shave, totally permissible for females as well and men as well. You want to do waxing, all that is fine. But what some ladies are doing, that's absolutely haram. I'm still ashamed to even discuss it, but what can we do? مَا مَنَأَهُنَّ الْحَيَاءُ وَيَتَفَقَّهْنَ فِي الدِّينِ Siddiqa, the daughter of Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to say the Ansar ladies used to come to the Master alayhi salam, and their haya, female haya, would not prevent them from asking this type of issues. Today we have a big calamity. Ladies are going to another lady and then for bikini waxing and all that. How can you go and get yourself waxed by somebody else in the private and all? Totally haram that is. You must remember that. So when I say waxing, then you do it yourself, not you go there and all these type of things there. That's absolutely haram.
9 o'clock, we go inshallah for an interval. When we come back, my beloved listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned.